Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anjali 1, text 140. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Raya kahi kaha deke premotpatti karana. Purvaraga vikara cheshta kama likana. Then Ramananda Roy inquired from Rupa Goswami about the causes of the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis, such as previous attachment, transformations of love, endeavors for love, and exchanges of letters disclosing the gopinis' awakening love for Krishna. One second, I got to do one more thing. I'll be right back. Omiganatimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksura Nulatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutare Vayamu Pukadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pancha Kopa Turubhyascha Dipasindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New York. This is the day after a wonderful, wow, three-day festival. And, you know, my nature is, you know, I can't walk into a situation where things don't make sense. So I personally explained to you, I can't enjoy a festival when I see things. But everything in that festival was just wonderful. I mean, everything was first class. I mean, our Janmashtami was fantastic. And then we had a very appropriate on-time Panchayas Puja. And this lotus festival, offering 250 lotus flowers, grown in India. I don't know how they're a market here where they get them. And having everyone offer a lotus flower in this pond where Radha and Krishna was sitting. Kirtans were great. And, you know, really amazing thing, too, is I would say there were close to 200 people, but I would say at least half were not devotees. I met a couple of people that came and brought their teacher trainings, and it was just like wonderful. And it was great for me. I had the challenge of giving class. And, you know, somehow it worked out. I was actually explaining Brahma Vimohan Leela to a new audience. And then just somehow or other, the people got it. It was communicated that the essence of those leelas, which is the perfect expression of love, and somehow able to explain in a way, at least initially philosophically, where they can open their hearts to consider it. I got wonderful, wonderful feedback from that. And the prasadam was par excellence, as good as you could get. So it was really an edifying. And to me, of course, not just to have a festival, and have it so well organized, but to see so many good people come and appreciate what Prabhupada has come to give when it's appropriately presented. And that's my personal faith. My personal faith is we have the goods. I'm not saying it's the only line where you can get love of Godhead, but I have my allegiance and faith in the completeness, the richness, whatever the case is. But in that, to just see, you know, that this is actually what people are looking for. That there's a hole in the heart. There's an emptiness in the heart. And people are trying to fill that emptiness, but they don't know what is missing in the heart that leaves it empty. One lady came up to speak to me who's, for 25 years, she travels all around America running recovery groups based on the 12-step program. And anyway, someone introduced me to her and I explained my conception of how those steps work. You know, you first admit that you're powerless before God, you know, you're powerless, and there's a higher power. But, you know, I was explaining to the lady that the way this works and why it's so successful is because what addiction is there's an acute sense of lack within one's heart, generally caused by a lack of the proper nurturing influences in the formative years of one's life. And there's some kind of lack. It's just like when you're hungry, you know, there's something missing. And if you don't know it's food, your hunger will never be satisfied. So what we're missing is a sense of love in the heart. And because we don't know what is the cause of that longing in the heart, we try to fill it with greed, with lust, with gadgets, with, you know, so many things. We try to fill it with things that give us some kind of stimulation, but don't actually go to the core emotional need. We open our hearts to the wrong things that don't actually satisfy the inner core self and don't really solve our problem. They just give us a stimulation. It's like being depressed and eating an ice cream cone. Not your problem. You know, so I explained to her the way that 12-step process works, and she was amazed. She thought, wow, you really explained it. The way that 12-step process works is that people admit they're powerless. And when people admit they're powerless and develop that type of humility, then recognizing a higher power enables them to experience the mercy and love of God. And I always make this point that a sense of pride or entitlement is an impediment, is an obstacle for experiencing love. And I give this example of a child who is sense of entitlement. The child is spoiled, never feels loved no matter what the parents give him. Now, if the child was somehow humbled, or some a question of need, sometimes like you see for the food, the children in Food for Life in Vrindavan. You know, the children in Food for Life in Vrindavan, they grew up so destitute that anything you give them, they experience so much love and happiness from. Where a child who's grown up privileged may not appreciate whatever you give them, even if you give it with love. So I explain, it's something like that. It's something like that, that you, the material world makes us humble. And if we reach a point of destination, unless we have some kind of knowledge and understanding and inspiration, but if we reach a point of desperation, then we can humbly approach for help and feel that help. Feel the mercy of God. And then what happens is one experiences a certain fulfillment in heart that fills the need that drives addiction. This is how the 12-step recovery process works. People finally get a drop in a supportive environment that reinforces humility and dependence. They're able to get a drop of that satisfaction in heart, a lack of which is causing them to try to fulfill it with whatever their addiction is. Anyway, the festival was really wonderful. I mean, that's kind of, I'm still kind of running off the energy. A little disclaimer too, the way I knew there would be many, many new people there. And I really, really wanted to make sure that that opportunity for them was not lost. To get some real deeper understanding of Krishna consciousness. So I really, really thought deeply and tried to prepare that. Didn't spend as much time preparing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it was worth it. People came up to me really just amazed. Wow. Understanding this, the richness of our Krishna conscious presentation of divinity. As Prabhupada says in the purports, it's really beautiful, that Brahma Vimoha Lila, how it's so charming, how Brahma begins to doubt that this young boy who's playing with the cowherd boys, with the yogurt and the rice and the fruit in his hands, and just in a simple way exchanging, could be God. And then, of course, the pastime goes that when Lord Brahma takes the cowherd boys and calves, and Krishna manifests as all the cowherd boys and calves, and then Brahma comes back in a moment, which is a year of the earth time, to see what has happened. And when he comes back, be shocked because Krishna duplicated himself as all the cowherd boys and calves. And when he does that, Brahma is astonished. And then Krishna begins to show him his opulence, his powers. And it's such a, because he sees each Vishnu form so beautifully decorated, but each Vishnu form is surrounded by all the devotees chanting kirtan, and also experiencing the loving exchange from each Vishnu form to each devotee, as there's a beautiful smile of love, and then there's a beautiful glance of love. The smile of love is the is brilliant with the pearl-like teeth, white, and the glance of love is reddish. The reddish eyes, tinges of red in the glance. So the verse, the deeper meaning of it is that when God glances at us, when you have devotion for God, he creates within you. Because red is like the mode of passion, but it's a spiritual passion. He creates within you the passion to do service. He creates a desire within your heart to do service. And the white, the glance, the smile represents the mode of goodness, and he sustains and maintains that. So he sees these Vishnu forms surrounded by the devotees who are offering on every limb of his body the most fragrant tulsi garlands. He sees this loving exchange, and then he sees all living entities in a sarup of form to serve God. And then he sees the mystic potencies. And then he sees the mahatattva, the collective material elements. And then he sees swabhav, samskara, the nature, the impression, samskara, the gunas, the modes, kala, the time. He sees everything. And then finally the Brahman effulgence around each form. And then that effulgence literally blinds him. And he becomes stunned. And then he faints completely. And then when he wakes up, then he sees it's Vrindavan. And then finally he sees that same cowherd boy who he doubted with the fruit and the rice and the yogurt mixed in his hand. All his senses, 11 senses, just became filled with ecstasy. When you get rid of ego, you become filled with ecstasy. Because you accept your sarup. You accept your real position as dependent and in a mood of service to God. And when you have that mood, there's an energy of love from God that flows through your heart, through all your senses back towards God in this existential or ontological situation of rasa, which is the energy that is really what the universe is about, not an energy of love and a loving exchange. And your senses become so enlivened. It's called odharya, ultimate magnanimity. When you're experiencing the absolute truth and feeling the absolute truth and feeling your relationship with the absolute truth. But That's Krishna. And I like, Prabhupada gives his commentary. In his commentary, he quotes Anadim, what is it? Advaitim, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Advaitam, God is non-dual. Advaitam, Govinda is Advaitam. Nothing is outside of God's energy. Nothing is outside of the body of God. And Achutam means God is infallible. And Prabhupada says it in an interesting way. Krishna never falls down from the position of Krishna. Not that his energy is dispersed and he becomes less. He doesn't fall down from the position of Krishna. And when one has that realization, aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajanti ma buddha bhava samavita buddha bhava. When you have that understanding, buddha bhava, you understand God, then you feel God. And you feel your love for God. And that humbles one because it's extraordinary mercy. It's something you're getting beyond your own qualification for it that makes you reflect on your lack of qualification for it, which becomes your qualification for it. Wanting to be a servant, wanting to be sheltered, dependent, all the symptoms of a realized soul. Realized soul, realize what? That I am part of something greater than myself, of which I have a relationship of loving servant. And he's humbled. And there's a point that was really made by Prabhupada, really in the purports, that sometimes God humbles us by showing his powers in opulence. And the example that Lord Brahma eventually gives of what he feels like is like a glowworm in the dark. Look at the power of my life. But as soon as the doors are open and the glowworm's in the sun, it's nothing. It's effulgence. So relatively speaking, whatever powers we have are nothing. But there's something when engaged in the service of God, because then you become connected with the energy of God. And it's ecstasy. That's what happiness is. And Lord Brahma just falls down and pays his obeisances. And he's trying to get up. He's falling down. Eventually, he just turns his head and looks up. I described, I said that he felt happy low, and happy low is low in love. Unhappy low, love low, is low in oppression. They're low in love. Whether you're low or not, you feel that way. You want to be that way. I'm in love. I'm connected with something that is greater than myself. That's love. That is worthy to be served. That's love. And that's happiness. There's nothing like the feeling of devotion, which is so antithetical to ego or any sense that I want to control or enjoy or any sense of having those objectives or any sense of being frustrated when those objectives are not met. In that happiness of love, you can be obscure, you can be in the background, because you've got something so rich within your heart. And that's that connection to the divine, the connection to God, which is the part we are supposed to play, and the part which makes us useful and relevant, gives meaning in our life, and also gives the sustenance by that connection. And the vision is given of the spiritual world, which is so beautiful. Krishna is in the center. And Prabhupada, in the purport, makes such a brilliant statement. He said, this is the Krishna consciousness movement. We're putting Krishna in the center, everyone automatically becomes blissful and beautiful. And I described my experience at that festival, you know. But, you know, when you enter communities generally, there's wonderful festivals, but there's always some tension between someone, and there's always someone who's appropriating the moment for their own ego or dissatisfied. But, you know, I just saw in that festival, and this is really the grace and advancement of Lakshmi Nisringa. What an incredible soul who can really help create and set that mood. You know, I just felt that everyone was focused on those deities. Krishna was in the center. And when you're in a God-centered community, a God-centered family, where there is that center, then it's a community of love. And that's what's so beautiful about these festivals, just focusing on those beautiful deities. And everyone focused. You know, there were long lines sometimes to offer the lotus flowers or prasadam. And everyone was just satisfied exactly where they were, because it wasn't about any individual. It was about the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Murali Das. Right? I was talking, Mahamuni, he from Confucius, I think, he shared a definition of ritual. You know, to position yourself in relationship to something greater than yourself. That's the position of love. That's the position of happiness. And when you have that, you don't want to leave that. And the purity of that consciousness makes the ego very easily to see. Not only to see the ego, but see the unattractiveness of that type of consciousness within yourself. Now, a little bit from today's verse, talking about causes of love. Ramananda Roy, they're appreciating so much Rupa Goswami poetry, which is the supreme expression of love. Appreciating it so much. He wants to know about the dramas he's written, which are poetic expressions of Krishna's pastimes, which is the Bhakti Ras the overwhelming of feelings of devotion, which is the ultimate reality in the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That's what we believe the ultimate reality is. That type of experience, becoming overwhelmed with these sentences. And there's different bhavas that create this feeling. The players in that emotion, the setting in that emotion, the actions in that emotion. And someone who is rasika has a depth of understanding. He understands the ultimate reality of Krishna's pastimes, and he sees the depth of love expressed within them. And he he's able to express it. So Rupa Goswami, they've already heard his poetry. They know that he's such a special person. Now they want to hear his dramas on Krishna Leela. I didn't remember, but there was, he asked about the introduction and how you enthuse the audience called Parochana by praise of the heroes or praise of the audience. And there's different types of introductions. One is pravartana, where you introduce the drama in terms of the particular season or setting in which that drama is presented. And we heard the incredible poetry of learned devotees. I am by nature ignorant and low. And even though it is from me that the Vedanta Madhava has come, it is filled with descriptions of the transcendental attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, will not such a literature bring about the attainment of the highest goal of life? Although its wood may be not ignited by a low-class man, fire can nevertheless purify gold. Similarly, although I am low by nature, this book may help cleanse the dirt from within the hearts of the golden devotees. So now he's inquiring about the prem utpatti karana. What's the causes of awakening that loving propensity? The loving propensity is in the heart. It's called the stai bhav, the particular affection or love you have from Krishna. Now, what is the udipas? How is the potentiality of that love awakened within the heart? Of the praying utpatti karana. About the causes of the praying utpatti karana, the cause of the praying, the loving propensities between Krishna and the gopi. So he gives four. Rupa Goswami, he inquired about the causes and he gave examples. Purvarag. Purvarag means the affection that one has for Krishna, the gopis have, before they ever met him. So sometimes by hearing or something, you develop an intense love. That's called Purvarag. All these things get very detailed and technical, but it's so sweet. And then the Chesta. Oh, then the Vikara. What are the different transformations, ecstatic transformations of that love? And Chesta, what are the endeavors in that love? And Tam Alika, what are the writing of letters? Sarupa Goswami gradually informed Ramananda Roy about everything he asked. Hearing his explanations, all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were struck with wonder. So he was able to explain all these things. So this is an example of Purvarag. And this Rupa Goswami is going to give one of his verses explaining it. Ekasya Shritam Mevalam Pati Matim. So this is the examples of Purvarag. Srimati Radharani thought, since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost my good sense. Then there is another person who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And again, there is still another person to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful lightning-like effulgence in his picture. Therefore, I think I am greatly condemned that I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die because of this. So it's just a really nice example of Purvarag. Here's the name, Krishna. And Radharani falls madly in love. Just hearing his name, Yaso Mati Nandana Braja Bara Nagara Okula Ranjana Tana Opi Paranadana Madana Manahara Taliya Dhamma Dabidana Amalaharina Mamiya Bilasa Vipin Purandara Navina Vanagabara Vamsivadana Suvasa Raja Jana Pavana Surakula Nasana Nanda Godana Rakawala Viradavallava Vrindavana Natabara Viradavallava. Anyway, I'm still trying to recover from the ecstasy of yesterday. But this is actually a famous verse from the Dutta Madhava, that Radharani is, you know, she's the chaste girl. So now she the name, then she hears the flute. We were discussing on also Krishna Janmasthana, and I put both of the classes on my website. In Krishna Janmasthana, I was asked to speak. I wasn't even told I was speaking beforehand. And I was speaking about the nature of the flute being representative of the greater expression and revelation of God, as one of the symptoms of one of the greater expressions and revelation of God is Krishna. And the concept of Krishna being that God as a person reveals himself more and more according to the level of love of people. And when that love is the most intensified, supported by the most beautiful and intimate setting, then God has a mood to reveal himself intimately in all his full beauty. That's the conception of Krishna. And when he does that, he becomes inconceivably beautiful. A incredible variety of loving exchanges in intimacy. In intimacy, you can exchange friendship. In intimacy, you can relish parental love. You can make yourself very extremely dependent in a loving way. You can experience the intimacy of conjugal relationship. So the flute names, in that mood of intimacy, God is not inhibited to express that intimacy in a jazz-like music, which carries the sentiments of his heart to the ears of the devotee. So Radharani hears that heart of Krishna through his flute. She experiences the nature of Krishna through his name. And then she's also attached to this person in the picture. She does not know they're three different people. Because now she says, I'm condemned. I'm simultaneously attached to three different types of people. What type of woman is that? So, I mean, this is really high stuff. This is, but you know, this is the Dagda Madhava. We're reading the poetry of Rupa Goswami. And his bhav, this is his bhav. He is follower of Radharani. My dear friends, these palpitations of Srimati Radharani's heart are extremely difficult to cure. Even if one applied some medical treatment, it would only end in defamation. That's also the Dagda Madhava. And here's more. Oh, dearly beautiful one, the artistic loveliness of your picture . This is a letter from Radharani to Krishna. Oh, dear beautiful one, the artistic loveliness of your picture is now impressed within my mind. Since you are now living within my mind, wherever I wish to run because I am agitated by impressions of you, I find that you, oh my friend, are blocking my way. We'll read one more. Upon seeing peacock feathers in front of her, this girl suddenly begins trembling. When she sometimes sees a necklace of gunjamala, their little red and black and white seeds of a tree that make this garland. When she sees the gunjamala, she sheds tears and cries loudly. I do not know what kind of new ecstatic influences entered the heart of this poor girl. This imbued her with the dancing attitude of a player, creating wonderful unprecedented dances on stage. Anyway, the rest I really have to prepare. And just, okay. Anyone like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. That was Amir. Wonderful.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, it was a wonderful festival.
Wasn't it, Amir? It was so nice to see you there all 3 days. And finally
three
having
days
a temple.
Yes, and
temple
I was
in
just
New York
surprised
you
knew you there. Very, very much.
Well, when those Iranian ladies come, make sure to bring them to the 6-hour kirtan, or at least part of it, okay?
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely.
That's
and
on Saturday, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And Friday, before that, if they want, I don't know, Raghunath's giving a little program they may be interested, too.
I'm sorry,
I'll call you later
in
the week.
All right.
Raghunath is also giving a program on Friday night.
All right.
Anyone else like to say hello? Thanks, Amir.
Hari Bol,
Maharaj. Anyone else?
Hari Bol.
Mother Indrani?
Yes, thank you for class.
Is that Mother Indrani, the world preacher that went to Africa in her mid-80s?
Thank you so much for classes. Help me longing and desire. You keep saying Krishna is keeping me here, so maybe I could just get a tip of the iceberg.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody
Maharaj.
Else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Henry, I was waiting for you.
I'm so sorry I was with Anna. You know, I had to serve Anna.
Yeah, we had your obligations. Yeah. I think you would have enjoyed, Henry. It was a really beautiful festival, you know? Tastefully done. Wonderful. Okay. Some other time. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Gail.
Hare Krishna. Gail. Rangi. I will. I will make sure not to reveal too much on Tuesday in my class.
Please don't. It won't get translated on the internet.
So that you won't miss it. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we'll end now. I'm Shukopa Tuesday.